Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I hope and pray that you're doing well. Part of the song, in the song that Tony sung there, said that, you know what, we're not going to have any heartaches, no more trials, not the things in this world lay upon us so many times one of these days. We're going to be free from those. Amen. Have you ever thought about how that will be one of these days? You know, we go through times down here where there's not a whole lot going on in our lives, but you know what, we will suffer heartache and strife down here. We do. It's just the way it is. But there's coming a day where that will not be, and I just praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that song. Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. You know, that's what we all should long to hear and long to see. If you would, turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter. I'm going to have you stand here a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit before we go into reading the scripture and stuff like that. But I want to talk this morning a little bit to you about cleaning house. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to ask you a question. Where's God's house at? I mean, I want you to honestly think about that. Where is God's house at this morning? Is it this church? Is it Tri-County Church up on the hill? Is it 14th Avenue up in Parkersburg? Is it the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C.? No. It's none of that. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 7:48. It says this, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. When you got saved, I want you to understand, I know sometimes I don't think we really comprehend this as much as we should. The moment that we are saved, God came in to live in you. You are the house of God. Everybody in here that's saved, you are the house of God. You are. At the moment of conversion, the body of every believer becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. The moment that you are saved, the moment that you are converted, the moment that the Lord comes, the scripture we will be reading shortly has a deeper meaning to it, has a deeper meaning to it than what it appears on the outside. It has a way deeper meaning to it. And I'll get to it here in a little bit. In the Old Testament, God made a temple for His people. You know that? In the New Testament, God made a people for Him. Get that. Understand that, because that is so important to everyone in here this morning. When I'm talking about cleaning house, have you ever really just let that sink in a little bit? That God, the Most High God, the true and living God, lives in us. We are that temple. We are His church. And sometimes I don't think we really put it in the right perspective sometimes. To many, getting saved, and I wrote this down because I believe this, to many, getting saved is going to heaven. That's what a lot of people think that getting saved is. And that's part of it, don't get me wrong. But getting saved, listen to me, getting saved is a result, going to heaven is just a result of getting saved. That's the result of you and I getting saved, is the opportunity one day to go to heaven. Amen? Salvation is not getting you and me off this planet. That's not what salvation is all about. Do you realize salvation is getting God to live in us? That's salvation. That is what it's about. In 2 Corinthians 3:15, it says this, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Know ye are not your own selves. Now, no matter what you think here this morning, it's me, I'll do what I want with it. No, that is not what it's about. If you believe in the scripture, the Bible says, know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Understand that. You are the temple of the living God. You become a temple of the living God. The question is not whether or not. The question is not whether or not you are a temple if you're saved. But can I ask you a question this morning? This is something everybody needs to ask. Are you a fit temple for the living God? Are you a fit temple for the living God. I'm reminded of a story in college about a college group, and their mascot was a goat. And they didn't have no place to keep this goat. So some of the boys on the football team said, well, we'll just keep the goat in our dorm. Well, one of the guys looked at him and said, well, what about the smell? And they said, the goat will get used to it. I'm here to tell you something this morning. God doesn't get used to the smell. Amen? God doesn't get used to the smell. He doesn't cover it over with spiritual Febreze. God will not get used to it. God's wanting to do a deep cleaning is what he's wanting to do. I hear it used to be they used to talk about a spring cleaning of the houses and stuff. You know how it was. Do you know what? God can do a cleaning. If you would, let's stand and turn to Matthew 21, verse 12, beginning with verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou has perfected praise. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for your message. I want to thank you for the scripture, Lord. I want to thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as we go down through the rest of this message, Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would open them up, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the message would dig in deep where it needs to go. I pray, Father, this morning that your Holy Spirit would be here, Lord, and that it'd be amongst these people, Lord, and that if there's convicting power of your Spirit, it'd be upon them, Lord. I pray for that. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and the honor for it all. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. And amen. I'm here to tell you, God will clean house. God will clean house. The first thing I want us to ponder, the first thing I want to look at this morning is this. The profaning of the temple. It's what they were doing here. Look again at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. What was happening here in the temple in the Old Testament? Listen, first off, let me tell you why this is deeper scripture than what it may look on the beginning of it. When you're looking at this scripture, this is just something to show us what the New Testament temple should really be like. That was the Old Testament temples, what they were talking about, what they were dealing with right there. Jesus is trying to get a point across to us about the New Testament temple, which is us. So let's get this straight. And he said, this is a prophecy, this is a type of the temple that lives within us. In this text this morning, Jesus is speaking about the money changers. Now listen, what these money changers would do. So let me lay out this foundation for what they were doing. Whenever people would come into the temple for the holidays, and they were supposed to bring offerings. Some of them were supposed to bring animals, and there was also a money offering. What they would do, everybody from around the known world would come into the temple. Well, the temple didn't take that money. They had to have temple money. They didn't want to take the money that they brought because it had Julius Caesar's picture on it. So when they brought it in, they had these money changers there that would exchange it. So what they would do, they would take this money that the people brought in, and they would have temple coins there. Well, the first thing they would do, they would charge them 4% on top of that to just exchange the money. So what they would do, they'd take the money that they had gotten, they would say that they'd give it to the people or the money they exchanged, the people would take it back and put the temple money in a box. Well, these people would just go in and grab that temple money back up and bring it back out. And then they would redo it again, over and over again. It wasn't fair. It wasn't dollar for dollar. Jewish historian said that they would make $300,000 a year profit just on that. That wasn't even the worst part. They would take their animals. They were supposed to bring a perfect animal there. What they would do, they made it to where if people would bring an animal, they'd say, well, that animal there is not perfect. They'd find something wrong with it. So they had to buy an animal there in the temple. That's why the animals were there in the temple. What they would do then is they'd charge them 30 times over the price of what an animal should cost. Then they'd take their animal, put it back in the pen, pull it out, and sell it. That's what they were doing. That's why whenever we see Jesus coming in, and Jesus would come into this, he would come in there, that's why he got upset. That's why he got mad. These people were coming to the temple to worship God. That's what they were doing. And you know what they did? They were taking, made it a den of thieves, is what Jesus said. That's exactly what they had done. They had made it a den of thieves. Brothers and sisters, so what happened? Here's what they do. Praise God. Listen to me. That's why Jesus went in and he upset all the tables. That's why he threw the money all over the floor. Whenever you see this, that's what I'm saying. There's a deeper message here than what we see on the outside of it. This is why Jesus did this. They were thieves. They were stealing from the people. Now hold that for just a little bit. I got a question for you this morning. Why does a temple exist? Why does a temple exist this morning? Why does it exist? The temple exists for this. It exists to be spiritual activities for prayer. It exists for sacrifice. It exists for worship. And it exists to glorify God. That's what a temple exists for. Say with me this morning, if you're a Christian, I'm the temple of God. Say that with me this morning. I am the temple of God. If you're the temple of God, that's what you exist for. You exist to worship. You exist to glorify God. That's what you exist for. Sometimes we don't comprehend. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? What are you saved for? What are we saved for? What's God's plan for you? What should this temple, what should your body be used for? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. And I'm going to tell you just exactly what it should be. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 19th and the 20th verse. I encourage you to mark in your Bibles. I encourage you to mark these and put these in and mark them in yellow if you have to. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, get this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what your temple, that's what your body, that's what you are supposed to be doing. Every one of us. When you become a Christian, you do not belong to anybody else except God. He is yours. I know sometimes this gets kind of, because when I was reading it, Sean, he convicted me. I'm just laying out there. Again, I'll say this. I'll keep saying, I didn't write this book, but I believe every word of it. Amen. Every word of it. When you become a Christian, you don't belong to you. I went and seen The Passion of Christ. We went and seen it on the big screen. And they tell me that wasn't even, as realistic as that wasn't even close to the beating that he took. And if you've ever seen The Passion of Christ, I sat there and I just put my head down in shame. Because there was a price paid. And I think sometimes, Lord, the price that you paid, and I can't praise and worship you? What's the matter with me? Whenever we seen that, you can ask Tink, I just almost put my head down. Because it was horrific. The beating that he took. To see the crucifixion being so graphically portrayed out there. I want to tell you something. If you've never seen it, I'm not saying to show it to little kids, but if you've never seen it, I think you need to watch it. The Passion of Christ. It moved me deeply. It brought me to understand the price that had been paid. The question we should ask ourselves is, the life we are living worth what Jesus did on that cross? Is the life you're living worth what Jesus did on that cross. You're the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. I've asked myself that over and over again, Nancy. Is the life I'm living worth the price that he paid on that cross? Every stripe that he took. All the nails that been drove through his hand. All the blood that poured from his body. Is the life I'm living worth it? Worth it. We see the money changers taking the money. We see them. We see them taking something that belongs to God. Now, get this point. Folks, if you're taking what God has given you and not using it for the glory of God, you're no better than the money changers. Not a bit. You're taking what God has given you and using it for something other than what the purpose that it should be and for glorifying him. And if you're doing that here this morning, you're not living. You're no better than the money changers. Not a bit. Not a bit. They were stealing the tribute that belongs to God. Are you stealing the tribute that belongs to God? Are you doing that here this morning? Any of us? I point my fingers at myself as well. Are we doing that? Well, how's that apply to us? Because we are bought with a price. You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. The God lives within. Now let me ask you another question. Don't answer it out loud. But answer to yourself here this morning. Is your body and your spirit glorifying God? The scripture I read to you said your body and your spirit. Did you get that? And you need to mark that in there because it's important. Well, God lives within me. God, you know, David, he lives within me. It says with your spirit and with your body. Is your body glorifying God? Are you using your body to glorify God? That's what that scripture means. I'm not saying something that the Bible, I'm not trying to put out something there that the Bible's not trying to put, I'm not trying to put any convictions on you. I'm just telling you that's what the scripture says. Glorify God with your body and with your spirit. You say, well, Dave, listen to me. Can I tell you something? What you know about Dave Long, you know because of the way I act with my body. Am I right? What I know about you is your actions with your body. Well, Dave, I listen to you talk. It's coming from my body. What do you think? What I think my body reacts to. Am I right? Brothers and sisters, we have to understand and get this truth. It's your body and your spirit glorifying God. Are you truly a temple of God? Listen to me. God knows that I love him. God knows this. God, listen to me. What you show me is what you do sometimes with your bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body and your spirit. What's it say? Which are God's. If you're a Christian, you don't belong to yourself no more. But also in your body, you can't see my face. All that you know about me is what you see. Folks, the only thing you really know about me is what my actions and what I see. And the only thing I know about you is the same way. Your bodies are out there for everyone to see. Everyone to see. Your actions are out there for everyone to see. Our actions are out there. Again, I ask you, are you glorifying God in your body and in your spirit? The next time, and I put this on everybody in here, including myself, the next time you want to know if something is fit to watch, read, or listen to, I want to ask you this morning, can you say I'm glorifying God by doing it? I'm asking you. You're the ones that's got to answer that question. It's not me. I'm not standing up here judging you. I'm not going to stand up here and have you come and ask me, well, this is right or that's right. All I'm telling you is the next time you want to listen, watch, or read anything, is it going to be to glory of God? Can you thank God for it? Lord, this is for your glory, Lord. What I'm doing, this is for your glory. Think about it. We are the temple of God. We are the churches of God. We are the ones, the born again, the ones that are saved. Can you or I say that? Well, that's a little hard, Pastor. You know, you can say, well, that's just a little hard, Pastor. Listen, again, I didn't write it. but I believe it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. We either believe the Bible or we don't. Are you living a life that's stealing the tribute of God? Are you doing it? God saved you for a purpose, to glorify Him. If you can say anything that you do is glorifying God, if you can say that, go for it. Heard a preacher one time talking about this, and I'm not. He was talking about going to slot machines. He said, if you think God made your hands to go out here and operate a slot machine, he said, and you can do that and glorify God while you're doing it, he said, the devil's lying to you. I'm just here this morning. Listen to me. Praise God this morning. Listen, if you can do it and still glorify God, our life is to be a life of perpetual glory to God. When we're saved, it is. The next thing I want you to notice this morning is, and I want you to know, the purging of this temple. So what did Jesus do? And Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. One more scripture concerning that. If you look in John 2:15, he said this, and when he had made a scourge of small cord, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Mark this down. Jesus will not live in a dirty house. Mark it down. He will not live in a dirty house. He will clean it out if you let him, but he will not live in it. First of all, he did it with a whip. You mean a loving Jesus? Yes, Jesus loves you way too much to let you continue down the path you are in without getting a whipping. How many people in here have ever had a whipping from God? I have. And it's not pleasant. It's not pretty. It's not nice. But He will use a whip on you. You say, yes, Jesus, He doesn't. You say, how do you know that, Dave? How do you know that? I got some scripture here I want to read to you. Over in Hebrews 12, 5 and 8. And read it with me if you don't care. I'll let you get there. Hebrews 12, 5 through 8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And get this part, I want you to underline it. And scourgeth every son he receiveth. Do you know what that is? That's a whip. If he loves you, if you're one of his, and you're going down the wrong path, he's going to come after you. And he's going to whip you. He's going to try to turn you around. Verse 7, if ye endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Folks, can it get any plainer than that? God will clean house. And sometimes He uses a whip. And not because He doesn't love you. God loves us enough. He doesn't want us to continue down some paths. A scourge is a whip. That's what it is. Have you ever been whipped? I have been whipped by the Lord. Yes, I've been whipped by Him. Numerous times. And it's not fun. And Jesus didn't take a whip to mean you could say, praise God, listen. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all you partakers, then are you bastards instead of sons. You don't belong. That's what he's saying. You don't belong. The purpose of chastisement is to make you and us holy vessels before God. That's what it's about. That's what chastisement is about. The purpose of to keep the temples clean. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. For they verily for a few days chastised after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth what? Peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I don't know about you, but when my mom and my stepfather whipped me, I didn't stand there and say, man, I really like this. This is awesome. Do it some more. Not once. Not once. And that's what God wants us to do. It isn't going to be pleasant. Do you ever say when you're getting a whooping with a switcher belt to keep it up? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. None of us do. But your mom and your father had a purpose. And God has a purpose. He has a purpose as well. There may be some times in the morning that we're being chastised. There may be people in here this morning that are being chastised right now. I don't know anybody's heart. I don't know what's going on in you. Don't know. But I can tell you this, if you're getting chastised, I know this is going to sound bad, but you need to praise God because God's still working on you. Amen. Amen. God's still working on you. Chastising for his profit. He did it through disruption as well. He did it through scourging. He's going to do it through disruption as well. Listen to me. In John 2:15, I'm going to read that scripture again. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. We see Jesus overturning the tables. I'm here to tell you something this morning. If God's wanting to clean the house, there are going to be times there may be some disruption in your life. You may be getting a whipping, and there may be some times there may be some disruption in your life. He takes the temple where Jesus is, he's right in the temple. Now get this, that's where he's disrupting everything. He's in the temple. There are going to be times in your life that maybe there may be some disruption in your life as well. Listen to me, I want you to understand this, and I mean this in a loving way. Whenever I see people going down the wrong path sometimes, if I see that, I don't pray that God will just make everything right for them. Say, God, take the wheels off the chariot a little bit. Make it rough on them. Make some things disruptive in their lives. What do you do that for, Dave? Because I love you enough, I want you back to where God wants you. Amen. Amen. I hope you can do the same thing. I hope that you can do the same thing, because sometimes it takes disruption in our lives to get us back to where we need to be with God. Amen. Sometimes we need our tables in a spiritual sense overturned, Bev. There are times we do, to where God can get us back to the point to where we're looking to Him. Why? Because he loves you. And because I do that, because I love you. He'll use this. You may be sitting here this morning telling yourself, nothing works out for me. Nothing works out for me. Maybe you're like that here this morning. I would rather, maybe you're saying, well, Dave, nothing ever seems to work out for me. Nothing ever goes right for me. Did you ever think that maybe God's trying to get your attention? Did you ever for the minute think that God's trying to get your attention? Why is that? I'm telling you, I would rather have disruption. I would rather have whippings in your life than I would have you die and go to hell one day. I would rather have that if it brings you back to the Lord. I heard a preacher talking this morning, and this is so sad to me. He said, it was Calvin Evans is who it was, but he was talking about his dad preached a revival back in 1958. The revival went on for like 3 weeks. He said a gentleman come to church every night, come to church, and didn't get saved. And you could tell the services were bothering him. But he said that on the last night of the service, he walked out to church and went down the steps and he shook his fist toward God and he said, God, never bother me again. Never bother me again. He said, I'll never bother you. Well, forward ahead to about 2003, 2004, and said, Calvin Ray, the boy, was in revival, and this guy come to church. He said he'd come here, and he got back here, and he said he preached, and he could see in his same way. The revival went on for like 2 weeks, he said. He said, this guy come in there, and he sat back there, and you could tell he was being bothered. You could tell it. Service ended, and everybody left, and Calvin said, I tried to find him, but he's already gone. So after everybody's gone, he said he walked down the steps, and he said, there this guy was standing right there alongside the church. So he said he stopped there and he talked to him, and this guy explained to him everything that he did, and he said, God won't deal with him. God won't deal with him. That's sad. God tried. God tried. He tried to disrupt his life. He's at the point now he had cancer in his life. He said he had terminally ill disease now. He said God tried to get him to where he said he could not. He said he cried. He said, Calvin said he cried, and he said, God won't deal with him now. I want to tell you something this morning. There's something sad about that. There's something that, brothers and sisters, you need to understand. God will only deal. He may be putting disruption in your life. God will only deal for a certain amount of time. Then after he quits dealing, that's it. Without the Spirit. I'm just here to tell you this morning, listen to me. What is the purpose of the temple? It's a place of prayer. We should always be a place of prayer. Matthew 21:13 says, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. If you are the temple of God today, we are the house of prayer. We should be in prayer continuously. If the temple is an altar. In the old temple, there was a temple, the altar of incense. And that was the prayer, supposedly represented the prayers going up to heaven continuously. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. Right? We're to pray without ceasing. I've heard it said something like this. You say, well, how can I pray when I'm asleep? Do you ever have a mother with their baby? They could be dead tired. Everything else could be going around and around, but if they hear that baby cry, they'll wake up. Because a mother is zeroed into that baby's cry. Praise God, a Christian will be zeroed into God. Pray without ceasing. We are supposed to be, Jesus said we are people that supposed to be a house of prayer. That is what we are supposed to be, a house of prayer. Let my prayers be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalms 141:2. Your temple, you are a house of prayer. You are. And I will give you no greater calling. There's no greater calling than to be. If you are a Christian, if you are the temple of God, there's no greater calling than to be a house of prayer. He said to be a house of power. Remember if you're going down through there, what we read this morning? He said they come in here, those that were lame and sick, he said they were healed. Praise God. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I would rather have somebody come to this altar this morning and get saved than I would to see 100 people healed. I'm not, and I believe God's still in the healing business. Don't get me wrong. That's not it. But salvation, something that means so much. Our temple should be a house of prayer. They should be a house of power. And praise God, we should be a house of praise. We should want to praise God with our lips, with the way this is. Do you get what I'm saying here this morning? When Jesus was cleaning out the temple, it's just us getting cleaned out the way that we should be. And when we are, you'll be a machine of prayer, a machine of power, a machine of praise, and a machine of love. Because why? Because you are the house of God. You are the temple of God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Praise God this morning. This is important. This is important to this is a question that everybody in this church, if you're calling yourself a Christian, you are the temple of God. You are. We come here and gather here. I'm thankful for our building. But this isn't the house of God. This isn't the temple of God. You are. Come get a song this morning.